Who has been the most influential role model in your life? Have you had a role model in your life? When I was growing up, one of my favorite TV shows was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Does anybody remember the Turtles? Yes, wonderful. My favorite Ninja Turtle to this day is still Leonardo. He had those two swords and he was the leader. He was so cool. Even though my son likes Michelangelo now, you know. These new generations, I don't know. But I always wanted to be like Leo. And then when I grew up a little bit, I wanted to be like Jackie Chan. Have you heard of Jackie Chan? He's a kung fu guy in the movies, kind of like a younger version of Bruce Lee. I loved watching his movies, Rush Hour, Rumble in the Bronx. These are classic movies. He's amazing, doing great kung fu, flipping all over the place, and being hilarious at the same time. I loved Jackie Chan and his movies so much, I started doing kung fu. I had a goal in mind. I wanted to learn a martial art, kung fu. And I watched all of those Jackie Chan movies with him as my mentor. And when I went to the academy, to the Kung Fu Academy, it was actually really helpful having the masters to copy off. I got to emulate them, learn from them, literally copy exactly what they were doing with their arms and their fists and whatnot. It was much easier having a great model to follow as I pursued my goal of becoming a kung fu martial artist. Now, this is the same across many aspects of life. You have a goal, and with a mentor or a model to get there, it's a lot easier. And it's the same for Christianity. We can push forward towards a goal encouraged by a model, because pushing towards a goal can be exhausting. It can be tiring. We can get disillusioned or troubled along the way. In this chapter of Philippians, chapter 3 that we've been looking at, Paul urges the Philippians here to keep straining forward to the prize that lies ahead, and to have a model as they go on their way. Pursue Christ and the resurrection and perfection that he offers. Today, as we look at Paul's words here, we will see that the goal of resurrection and perfection is at the forefront of Paul's mind, and it should be for us too. So please have your Bibles open with me at Philippians chapter 3. Early in chapter 3, Paul said that he counted everything as loss because of what he gained. He gained knowledge of Christ and a relationship with God. To know him, his resurrection, to become like him so that one day he would attain a resurrection from the dead. But Paul has not reached the pinnacle of Christianity. He has not finished the race, as if once you believe in Christ, that's enough and you can sit back. Have a look at verse 12 with me. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul hasn't made it. He hasn't obtained resurrection from the dead. He is not perfect. And this is the Paul in chapter 3 who was telling us a little earlier that he was the best Jew around. But now, as he's been changed by Christ, so too has Paul's goal. Paul presses on to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of for him. Paul has not taken hold of resurrection and perfection. He can't. He's still sinful. His destination is death without the Lord. But Christ has taken hold of resurrection and perfection for Paul. In Ephesians, Paul says that these things have been sealed up by the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until it is our time to possess it. Now, imagine with me that you're a teenager. This will be easier for some of you. Imagine you are looking forward to receiving your inheritance. You're going to receive this inheritance when you're 18. You can't wait for it. This inheritance is a brand new car. And it's a fancy car. It's got all the trimmings, leather seats, heated leather seats, particularly good in winter. It's got iPhone connectivity, a touchscreen control. It's got a sunroof. And to top it all off, it's even one of those cars that reverse parks all on its own, which I still think is some kind of crazy magic. Even though you're still a couple of years away from receiving your inheritance, you want to be ready for this car. So you're getting lessons in an old car. Every car these days is an auto, so the driving part's not too hard. But you want to be ready to know how to use the sound system. So you're poring over the manual. You know, you go through the manual to know how do you change the radio and the CDs with just your voice command. You want to be ready when you are given your inheritance. Paul is saying that if you believe that that Jesus is Lord and you trust in him, Christ has taken hold of perfection and resurrection for you. But we don't have it yet. We haven't earned it ourselves. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And so Paul does one thing. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is straining forward, pushing to be more like Christ as he awaits his return. There are two things here that are challenging and helpful for us. Paul keeps his eyes on the prize, which is not down here on earth, but it is with God. And the second thing, he forgets what is behind him. It is very easy to get caught up in past glories. I was once a fast man. I could run. I once used to have a wonderful garden. I once used to be able to bowl half decent at cricket, and today shattered that. I was once the meanest man on guitar you've ever met. But for some of us, they are in the past. But we hang on to those as if they're still part of our identity. Why does Paul urge us to strain forward? Because we are all too often satisfied in a little gain. If you've ever done exercise or tried to get fit, you know what this is like. Has anyone ever done the couch to 5Ks? Couch to 5Ks? One person. Wonderful. 2Ks. Two people. Can I get a third? No, that's okay. The couch to 5Ks is where you go from being someone who can just stay on the couch and hardly move at all. This is correct so far? Yes? Okay. To being someone who could get through 5Ks, even run 5Ks. So it's a big goal, 5Ks of running. Now, for some, you know, you set out, you know, the first thing you do when you want to run is you go to Kmart, of course, and you get decked out in all the most trendy active wear, the sweatbands, the tight skins, and then you get there. You get on the track and you set out. Okay, this track's 5 laps, it's 5Ks. I'm going to do 5 laps. That's fairly straightforward. And you get there, you get start on that first one, and it's going well. You're sweating, you're feeling good, the heart's pumping. You're like, I can do this. I can do 5 of these. No problems. And you start the second one. And the heart's pumping just a little bit harder. And you're sweating a lot. I need a drink. I need to stop. So you finally make the second one. And you stop and think, that was good. I worked hard. I've sweated. I'm gonna turn in today. I've done a really good job. But you didn't make the goal. You stopped early. We can stagnate as Christians. We can hold on to what we have done in the past, yesterday's grace, yesterday's service of God, and not strain forward to what God has in store for us. We get satisfied with being just a little bit like Jesus. Oh, look, I did some good things in the past. That's enough. I've read the Bible once or twice this year. That's enough, isn't it? I went on a mission once in the past. That pretty much makes me a missionary. I'm not sinning as badly as I did, probably. We look to our past performances and shape our identity as Christians around that. Paul says, instead of looking to what you've done in the past, instead of looking to what is behind, have your eyes fixed on Christ, strain towards what is ahead, and say, I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to shape my identity around him. Don't be content with yesterday's grace in your life. our sins become less and less excusable as we grow as Christians. Now, it's not abnormal for a baby to use a dummy or drink breast milk. But imagine if you were still in your teens, or your 20s, or your 30s, and your favourite drink was still breast milk, fresh from the source. And you still needed a dummy to get to sleep. That would be problematic. We'd say, grow up! Mature! This is just embarrassing. How frustrating is it to keep making the same mistakes and failing before the Lord in the same ways? Imagine if we stayed as spiritual babies all our lives, forever stagnant and not pushing to that goal of resurrection and perfection that God has for us. As we saw last week, Paul could have very easily sat on his haunches and relaxed, knowing that he was pretty much the best Jew out there. But Jesus has lifted his eyes, and now Paul pushes on to be like Christ. Be the same. But how do we do that? It's one thing to say, just be like Jesus. You know, have that what would Jesus do wristband on. Just do it. Paul gives some practical advice in verse 17. Have a look with me. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Follow Paul. This is great advice for the Philippians. They were most likely converted by Paul's ministry. Paul was still around. He was sending them letters, and so they could learn off him. They could model themselves on Paul. And Paul doesn't set himself up as one of those health gurus who kind of knows it all and has everything. As if Paul has arrived at his destination, Paul is very much setting himself up as someone to be followed as he is in transition following the Lord. But what about us? We don't know Paul personally. Have a look again at verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. How do we grow to be more like Christ? We follow those who are following Christ and growing to be more like him. Now, this might sound strange. Shouldn't we just follow Jesus? Yes, but we also have a model of people who are following Jesus. This is a wonderful grace of God that our church is full of models. You may not have realized it. This service right here is full of models. Maybe not catwalk clothes models, but there are many here who are promoting something better, modelling not clothes, but modelling what it means to live in a pluralistic, sexually crazed and consumeristic world, but at the same time following the Lord, straining towards his resurrection and perfection. For many of us, this goal seems so far away. There are more pressing goals that lie ahead before death and resurrection, or the Lord's return potentially. I need to do well in school to get into uni. I need to do well in uni to get a job. If you're a teacher in this area, any job would do. But what are you straining towards? Are you straining towards the prize which Christ has taken hold of for us and is hanging on to? Are you following a model as they are following Christ? Find someone to imitate. After the service, talk to some people. Find someone to imitate. Maybe they're a little bit older than you. Maybe they've been through what you're going through. Maybe they're in the same industry as you. Maybe they know what life is like for someone like you. Be willing to model yourself on someone who is younger. Humble yourself if that is necessary. But make sure you ask them. Don't just start modelling yourself on someone. Don't become some kind of Christian model stalker. Have a conversation with them. But the flip side of this is that you should be someone who is worth imitating. At the moment, if you were to have a younger version of yourself following you around as your shadow, what would they learn about Jesus? What would they learn about being a Christian from you? Would it be helpful things? But how do you choose who to imitate? And what kind of person should you be if you want others to imitate you? Should you just be grey-haired in the church? Should you just be on the wrong side of 30 like I am? How do you tell if someone is a person to be imitated? Have a look at Paul's words from verse 17. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Paul is pretty clear. Don't follow a person who is like this. Don't follow a person whose God is their stomach. Now, I love that description. It is so vivid of people then and people now. It is so easy to pursue pleasures of the taste buds, to pursue the pleasures of the flesh. Don't model yourself on someone who is chasing after those kinds of pleasures. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on the things of this life that will pass away. Instead, choose someone like Paul describes in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Did you notice the contrast between these two models? One's destiny is destruction. The other's is heaven. One pursues passions and food and pleasure. The other eagerly awaits the return of the Lord and Saviour. One's glory is in their shame. The other is in that they will have glorious bodies like Jesus. The key difference is perspective. One's eyes are on the earth and the pleasures and problems of this life. The other is set on heavenly things, eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. Are you following the Lord like this, eagerly awaiting Jesus? Are you following a model who is following the Lord like this? Or are your role models those who follow the pleasures of this earth? When I used to train in Kung Fu all those years ago, it wasn't just the masters who modeled and taught the students. It was actually part of the DNA of the academy. Once you were a higher belt, you just taught those who were lower. So everyone starts out as white and then they get to yellow. And once you're a yellow belt, you teach the whites. And as you moved up the ranks, there were more and more people that you could influence and impact. Even though you still didn't know everything, and you were still following the master. Will you imitate Paul as he imitates Christ? Will you be someone who is worth imitating? Will you speak with someone tonight and find out if they are worth imitating and follow them as they follow Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words to us today. Father, help us not follow a role model who is set on destruction. But Father, help us follow those who are following you. And Father, help us to be worth imitating. Father, make us aware of the areas in our lives where we are not following you. Please, Lord, continue to shape us and mold us to be more like your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.